Revelation 21, 1 and 2. Now, this is after the millennium, after the great white throne judgment. And during this time, it does not say, but Peter tells us that Jesus burns this earth up. He renovates it. When he creates a new heaven and earth, he don't blow it up and just creates a brand new one. No, the first one was covered by water in days of Noah. When he renews this earth in Revelation 21, he burns it up by fire. This is the word regenerate. It's kind of like we see even today. When something burns, you know, the grass of the field, what comes up after that? That nice new green sprouts and all. Of course, it's going to be perfect, but you get the picture. He creates a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth will pass away. And I love this. There was no more sea. Every time I think of this, I think of Ada Wilbanks. She goes on cruises all, and so do the Richard and Pat. They go on cruises all the time. Y'all better enjoy it, because in the new heaven, new earth, there are going to be no more sea. There ain't going to be no more cruises. They're going to be all a land mass, okay? But that's a whole other point, okay? Now look at this. Something else is going to be new. New heaven, new earth. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. So here's a picture I want you to get. He creates a new heaven, new earth. Jesus comes down in the new Jerusalem, and you get the picture of it. Later as you read it, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide. That's like from Miami to New York to the Colorado Rockies. About, get that picture, how big of a basis, and it goes up that high. Okay, Jesus is going to be the light of that city. He's going to be with us forever, for eternity, here on this terra firma. Now, here's the picture. He delivers up the kingdom to God. Everything, the sun, the moon, the stars, those galaxies are out of mind. They all belong to the Father. Jesus is going to now dwell with us permanently, as he dwelled with Adam in the Garden of Eden. Remember that? Walked with him in the cool of the day. So as we get the next few verses, I want you to see that. Literally, Jesus ruled for 1,000 years, King of kings and Lord of lords, and rightfully so. But after that reign, he gives all that up to the Father. You get the picture? This is yes. And if Joe gets it, she's nodding her head, anybody can get it. I'm just picking. You know I love you. Okay, but let's go a little farther now. You got the picture. And so the next few verses will make it even clearer. I want to give you the background. All right, let's start in verse number 24 again. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. This is after the millennium, even to the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign. Again, this is the purpose, one of the purposes of the millennium. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. It has not happened yet, but it will. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. So after the millennial reign of Christ, after the death and hell is cast into the lake of fire, there will be no more death. Now all God's people said? Amen. People will live forever and forever in their glorified bodies, obviously, but also in their natural bodies. They will live forever. There will be no more death. Why? He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The word for, I did this just for Doug's, because Doug's, what's his name? Temple's not here. He's in Georgia. But Doug's the Greek scholar among us. The word for is a purpose clause. Okay? I actually did. It's a purpose. Why did he do that? For is to present, is to present the reason that Christ must reign. Why must he reign? He must reign till all enemies be put under his feet. A victory is not a victory if it leaves the enemies undefeated. Do you get that? A victory is not defeated if he doesn't leave the enemy defeated. That's what I mean. Okay. The phrase under his feet here means to be subjugated, placed in the lowest position, literally to be conquered. So death was conquered finally. Now, we know he conquered it at his resurrection. Hallelujah, he arose. But ultimately, it's conquered when death gives up the dead and is cast into the lake of fire. And this is the what? the second death. And after that, there's no more death. That's why he must reign. I love you nodding your head. Even from now on, even if you don't understand, Joe, I want you to say yes. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm just going. Verse number 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. After announcing that Christ would reign, he places all enemies under his feet in a complete victory. Paul designated that last enemy as death. We see this, and we looked at that in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. After this, there will be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more suffering. Death originated as a result of the sin of Adam. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Wherefore, death is passed upon all men in that all has sinned. We see in Genesis 2:17 and Genesis 3 that thought about death because of the sin. The last enemy, being death, announces that Christ has defeated sin and death. Now, verse number 27. For when he hath put all things under his feet, before I go any for he hath put all things under his feet. All right, before I go any farther, who is the he hath put all things under his feet? Who's the he and the his? Christ. So we get the picture. He's ruled, he's reigned, he's now put the death, the last enemy, he's now put it under his feet. Now, but when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifested that he has accepted that which put things all in it. So we have some he's and the him. So I'm going to ask you a question. If you're following the thought here, Jesus now has placed everything under himself. But when he saith, who is the he? Let's go back. I want you to get it. But in verse number 27, but when he saith, who is this he? You're 50-50. I mean, you got one of two choices. This is the Father, God. But when he saith, the Father, okay? All things are put under him, Jesus. You're getting it, okay? It is manifested that he is accepted. Who is the he? God. Why is he accepted? The word accepted means he's outside and beyond the bounds. In other words, Jesus was over everything. He was over authority, except who? You get the picture? Let's go a little farther and we're going to look a little bit farther. Which did put all things under him. Who's the him? Y'all got it. So next time you can teach this, okay? You got the he's the hims. Okay, there's the God and then Jesus. All things refers to all. When he talks about all things under him, except the Father. Remember the clause, except him, the Father? Because Christ is subjected to the Father in the order of the divine Trinity. Remember the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Oftentimes we say God the Holy Spirit, and I understand that. But literally, lesson teacher, students, we have the triunity of the God. I don't care what your Bible says. I know if you don't have a King James Bible, it doesn't. If you don't have a King James Bible, it does not use the word Holy Ghost. It uses the word Holy Spirit. That's why I use the King James Bible. Amen, preacher. Just one reason, okay? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. By the way, we have some new people here. Do you know why the King James has Holy Ghost many times written in the Holy Spirit other times in New Testament? Why is that? I've told for you old timers, y'all remember, you've heard this before and it's so true. Okay, the Holy Ghost is his name. Remember Matthew 28, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.